I do hope that they're able to get the message from the pastor, because it indeed is a good one. We heard it this morning for first service. Nevertheless, we'll go ahead. Oh, what a blessing it is to be here at my own church, standing in front of my own family. I'm not used to coming to second service, though. Y'all look nice. I'm usually home. Nevertheless, I believe the Lord has given me something that I think we really, really need to take the time and revisit. None of this is going to be new for you. But every once in a while, we need to refresh our memories in terms of what the Word of God says to us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we need you, because this is all about you. Give us understanding, and please, may your Holy Spirit give us the understanding that we need to be prepared for your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the fastest growing internet sectors in today's society is astrology. Let's look at the top five people. You can see the names there in the middle, top, the Long Island Medium. Teresa Caputo has experienced spiritual insight, connection, since she was 4 years old. Number two, you have John Edward to the right there. He's one of the world's most respected mediums. His career has flourished for more than 30 years. His show, Crossing Over with John Edward, is syndicated worldwide. Then you have James Van Praagh, bottom left, considers himself a clairvoyant and medium. He is also celebrated worldwide as a gifted and important spiritual teacher. After many self-described spiritual encounters as a child, James didn't truly understand his own abilities until he was a young adult. A made-for-TV movie titled Talking with the Dead tells a story of his life as a medium. He also contributed to a show that some of y'all are familiar with, Ghost Whisperer. Number four, the most famous, is the one in the middle bottom, Princess Diana's psychic. Sally Morgan is one of the world's best known and most respected mediums and psychics. She is descended from the Witch of Fulham. Sally Morgan also always believed she inherited her psychic abilities. She describes a lifetime of spiritual ability starting in early childhood. In her early 20s, she began to casually offer her services to friends and family, and soon her career took off. Then you have number five, which is Uri Geller, famous as a man who can bend spoons with his mind. While his feats are memorable, his psychic abilities aren't without controversy. He claims he received his supernatural powers from extraterrestrials. While he has many skeptics, he also has submitted himself to research conducted by such prestigious institutions as Stanford and even the CIA. Both institutions have revealed that he does, in fact, possess some supernatural abilities. One of the clairvoyants to the stars, top left, is a psychic called Nikki. Nikki appears on radio and television programs throughout the United States, claims to have predicted the death of the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, the death of the actor Heath Ledger. Each year she looks into the stars to predict a range of events and trends, ranging from natural disasters to the styles of men's fashion. You see, celebrities, politicians, millions of other people are looking to the stars to help them with their future. Stars and planets were the gods and goddesses of nature, and therefore primary indicators of divine will. The ancients would read the omens in the sky to predict weather patterns, famines, wars, the fate of kings and nations. Is astrology an art or science? How accurate are the predictions? Is there really anything in it, or is it just a sham? Whatever your view may be concerning astrology, the revealed secrets of prophecy are both specific and amazingly accurate. In fact, the God who also created the stars wrote the predictions, and it is He who also reveals them. The Creator God bases His authenticity on the absolute accuracy of the prophecies of Scripture, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. This morning I decided to look up my horoscope. Yeah. Interesting. It says a little bit of solo time probably sounds good to you right now, doesn't it? It makes sense. After all the time and energy you've been giving to other people lately, a little bit of rest and relaxation will revitalize your heart and your soul and remind those around you that you can't be taken for granted. You are there to help, not there to be used. Treat yourself well and get all the beauty sleep you feel you need right now. That was my horoscope for today. I don't know if anybody had to see. See, I'm a Capricorn. I didn't know what day I was born. Well, I do. That sounded weird. Which day of the week my mother gave birth to me. But I found out it was on a Wednesday. Since my birth, I have lived on this earth 23,411 days. Days spent sleeping, 7,804. Years spent sleeping, 21.37 years. 33% of my life has been sleeping. That's what somebody says. Amazing. And many people govern their lives according to these things. You see, when I was in high school, the big thing for us was biorhythms. All you older people, like me, if you're in your 60s, 70s, we remember biorhythms, and people would chart out if this was a good day or a bad day to make decisions based upon when we were born, what time of the day we were born, and all that. And they had it down to a science. And some people believe, yes, it is a science. I don't, but some do. We realize that we all have good days and bad days. Is that scientific? That's our bodies. It's just common sense, I guess. So we're going to be looking at several questions that many have concerning the signs of the end as revealed in Scripture. This is going to be more of a teaching for you. You might want to write some things down. But I want to make sure that you understand scripturally that we're living definitely in the time of the end. So we're going to deal with eight questions. Number one, what did Jesus say was more important than being able to read the heavens? Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. The religious leaders of Christ's day, just like some of us, we don't take the time to read the prophecies to know what is going to happen. We let other people determine that for us. And that's not good enough. We have to study our scriptures ourselves. Here was Jesus standing before them, and yet they could not see the signs of the times. Him being the Messiah. Number two, what specific signs were the disciples of Christ most interested in? Matthew 24, verse 3. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The disciples correctly saw that the second coming and the end of the world, or the end of the age, as virtually the same event. They asked Jesus to tell them what signs or signals would indicate when this event would be near. Number three, does anyone know the exact date of Jesus' coming? You realize that it says in Scripture that only God the Father knows. He said, not even me. Over the years, a number of people have predicted an exact date for the coming of Jesus. However, notice what this commentator said. Everyone who predicted the end of the world had one thing in common. They were wrong. Jesus said that no one knows the date except for God. Predicting dates not only results in disappointment and discouragement, but it encourages people to ridicule the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses said that the end of the world was 1914. You know Harold Camping. Harold Camping said, he gave a couple of dates, but one was October the 21st, 2011. That was the Day of Atonement during that year. Harold Lindsay boldly declared that the rapture would occur before December 31, 1981. William Miller said that Jesus would come in 1844. We cannot predict the date. God makes it very clear. So, can we know when the return of Jesus is near? Matthew 24 says, verses 32 and 33, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, it is at the door. Although Jesus warns us against predicting dates, he does tell us to investigate the prophecies, the world events, in order to see when his coming is near. Just as there are many prophecies regarding the first coming of Jesus, there are also clear prophecies relating to the second coming of Jesus. What illustration does Jesus use when describing the signs of Christ's return? All these things are the beginning of sorrows. A number of prophetic signs. The word sorrow comes from the Greek word Odin, which literally means the beginning of birth pains. Jesus used the illustration of childbirth as an example to describe the signs of his return. Just as birth contractions increase in frequency and intensity as the mother gets closer to the birth of the child, so it is the signs of Christ's return become more frequent and intense as we near the end of time. So, I'm sure this is what you've really been waiting for. What are some of the signs associated with the very last days before Jesus returns? Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. It says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Jesus pointed to the international war as one of the signs of the last days. In the last century, we had two world wars and an estimated average of over 30 wars on the planet every year. According to the World Watch Institute, every hour the world is spending $100 million on soldiers, ammunition, and wars, with at least 9 nuclear-capable countries and an estimated 27,000 nuclear bombs in stock. The words of Jesus certainly ring true. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. What about terrorism? Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. And on the earth, distress of nations, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Never before have we seen such tension, distress, and fear among nations and people as we have today. A rapidly changing world and the increased threat of terrorism have resulted in people feeling unsafe. At a time when world leaders are talking about peace and security, we are feeling a loss of control in our own lives. Increased heart attacks, stress have resulted from the anxiety of everyday life. If you look at the news, a young man in his driveway shot to death. A mother over in Hawaii right now. They can't find her children. But some believe that she's part of a doomsday cult, that she probably got rid of her kids. This is the world we're living in. Fact, the world spends nearly 80 times more money on the military than it would cost to provide basic water and sanitation for the world. 80 times more money. What about the physical world? Matthew 24:7, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Up until the 19th century, and this amazed me, up until the 19th century, there were just over 2,000 recorded earthquakes. According to the United States Geological Survey Program, we now see 500,000 detected quakes every year. An increase in earthquakes and resulting tsunamis are another sign that Jesus is coming back soon. In terms of famine, the statistics are also alarming. The United Nations Habitat Program reports that 1 billion people do not get enough food. 500 million are chronically malnourished. The global population was 250 million at the time of Christ. It took 1,900 years to reach 2 billion and just 75 years to reach the next 2 billion. Then just 25 years to reach the next 2 billion. This earth is populating at such a rate that we have just passed the mark for not having enough arable land to feed the planet, even if we wanted to. Added to this, fresh water levels are diminishing at such a rate that experts are predicting that half the world will live in areas of critical water shortage within 20 years. Pestilences, also a sign of the end. These pests are not just plant-eating locusts or fruit flies, even though that's very devastating. It includes disease. The National Geographic reports that 3,000 people die each day from a mosquito bite, mostly children in Africa. As we near the end of the world, there will be a whole range of new exotic diseases. What are we dealing with now? The coronavirus. Spread around the world through travel and refugees. One of the greatest concerns relates to the different strains of flu, the bird flu, the swine flu, which appear to be increasing in variety, frequency, and severity. There appears to be a growing trend towards disease from what we eat, particularly through meat products. We are also fast running out of energy resources, coal, oil, gas. Climate change is occurring to such an extent that this issue is now seen as a greater threat to humanity than terrorism. Amazing. What about business world? James 5, verses 1 to 8 says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Here we find rich men taking advantage of low wages of the poor while they live in luxury. Capitalism, with little social conscience, is a key aspect of the move towards global economy in these last days. The world's richest men are increasing their wealth by multiplication, not addition. The United Nations Development Report indicates that the world's richest 500 people have more wealth than the combined income of the world's poorest 416 million inhabitants. Even in the United States, the richest 1% of the nation has more wealth than the bottom 95% of the nation. The Bible predicts that just before Jesus returns, the financial systems of the world will collapse. Money will be hard to come by, and the rich who have taken advantage of the poor will lose their great wealth. Revelation 18, verse 11. Wow. What about knowledge and technology? This scares me. I don't have anything to do with capitalism too much, because money is not, for most of us, that's not, we're in that 95%. But technology? Daniel 12:4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. No sooner is a new computer, phone or sound system launched, it quickly becomes superseded by a new technology. At a Sony BMG conference in Rome, a report was presented indicating that new technology is doubling every 2 years. There is more unique information developed each year than the previous 5,000 years combined. And a week's worth of news from the New York Times contains more information than the average person would come across in an entire lifetime living in the 18th century. I don't know what we did without cell phones, but I remember a time when we didn't have cell phones. Some of you sitting here remember when the first Mac Apple computer came out for home use. You remember when the first cell phone, I was so excited to get one, and it was about that big that you carried in your car plugged in, but man, I was there. And now it's gone from bigger to smaller, and then it's getting bigger again, if you've noticed. But the amount of storage is amazing. I used to have to take pictures with my Nikon camera. I used to have a Canon. I don't even know if they make those anymore. Yeah, I'm sure they do. But putting the roll of film in there. Now, my phone takes better pictures than many of those cameras. Little old phone. Technology is amazing. But we have to be careful. I was driving somebody yesterday, and he was from Saudi Arabia. And we were talking about the end of the world. And he said, in Islam, they talk about metal talking. And he immediately said, TV is like metal talking. Phones, metal talking. He said, these are signs. He said, these are signs of the time of the end. I could go on. Social world. Oh. Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jesus said that just before he returns, the earth will be in the same moral state as it was before the flood. At that time, the world had become so wicked that only 8 people, and probably 6 of them by force, because it was family, got on the boat. The remainder, by their own choice, were destroyed. Signs. A preoccupation with pleasure. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sport and leisure, the great love of the last days, as we jam-pack hotel pleasure resorts, sports stadiums, and spend endless hours in front of our home theaters, we can see a direct fulfillment of this sign of the last days. We spend more time in our own pleasure than we do spending time thinking about God. Disobedient children. This is a sign of the end. 2 Timothy 3, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be disobedient to parents. These days it's a real challenge to bring up children. Parents are losing hope. Some want to give up. It's a crazy world where we find children now officially divorcing their parents. Officially. Author and commentator Michael Medved claims the average American child will spend more time watching TV by the age of 6 than they will spend talking with their father in an entire lifetime. The influence of film, television, and music has had a major impact on the family. I teach in high school. Make it personal. And sometimes, the way some of the children talk to their parents, the way some of them try to talk to me, And I can't fault the children because they learn it from home. How often have I had parents say, "You need to train my child." What? They're your child. What are you doing at home? Oh, I can't control them. I'm just old enough to understand that when my father said something to me, there was no talking back. He trained me that way early so that when I became big enough to take him, there is no way in the world I would, because he was my father. Did I always like him? No. Did I always like what he made me do? No. Did I always do what he told me to do? No. So that when I was a freshman in high school, Pastor Marley, I came home, freshman in high school, I was bigger than my dad. I'm not going to tell you what I did, but he said, "Come here. Let's go to your bedroom." Oh, was right. Now, he never abused me, but he figured that God created us with an apparatus that can take some stuff. He only hit me, and I would count, 10 times. But those 10 times seemed like 100. I was in high school. Did I go home? Did I go back to school and tell my friends what my dad did? Oh, no. Did I do what I got spanked for again? Yeah. I'm honest. I was tough. But every time my dad disciplined me, not because he didn't like me. He did it because he loved me. And when he was long gone, I remember things that he said to me to this day. So I can't treat certain people a certain way. I can't treat women a certain way because of what my father taught me. Discipline your children. Breakdown in relationships. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. I could talk so much about this. We're living in a world where everything seems to be okay. I'm going to make a political statement. I'm going to get in trouble. Barack Obama did some very bad stuff for the Christian world. Very bad stuff. He's the one who legalized same-sex marriage. Now, did he do a lot of good things? Sure. But that started a serious downfall. I see young people now, because they see what's going on TV, they're trying all kinds of stuff. They're dabbling in homosexuality because all the stars are, I don't even know the terms, asexual, pansexual, I don't know. But it's not just a man and a woman. This is the world that our children are growing up in. And it becomes commonplace. It's no big deal. Marriage, it's worse. It's still over 50% end in divorce. And biblical reasons? I want to say anything about in the church. It just, you know, you get tired of somebody, you move on to somebody else. God wants me to be happy. God wants you to be committed. And before you choose to marry anyone, spend the time to get to know them. And still you won't know everything about them. But you're committed to the relationship. Don't talk to my wife about how many times she's probably gone, you know, I'm tired of you. But committed means that you work things out. You don't run away. You work things out. But our society, just move on to somebody else. This is the world we're living in. Religious world. People will ridicule the message of the second coming. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this fact, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? All those who predicted that Jesus would come and he didn't come, people ridicule anybody who chooses to believe that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Christians. I'm not talking about non-Christians. Christians ridicule Christians. There's a growing movement away from religion and churches toward a broad-based inner spirituality. In fact, although Jesus promised us he would return, many Christians don't even take the second coming of Christ seriously. The Bible says this is a sign of the last days. I'm almost done. Deception through false miracles, prophets, and Christs. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Four times in Matthew 24, Jesus warns against religious deception. This miracle-working religious deception is moving quickly through religious circles and is a major sign of the last days. There are numerous people today claiming to be Jesus Christ. One that stands out, I've said this several times, Jesus de Miranda, down in Florida. His followers tattoo 666 on them. He claims to be Jesus Christ. Are you reading your Bible? Wow. Movement towards spiritualism. This is scary. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, 1 Timothy 4, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. How many shows on TV now? I can remember, again, I'm old enough to remember, you really didn't have shows about dead people. Spiritualism. Now, there's series. I tried to watch, just how crazy I am, just to see how deceptive stuff was. I tried to watch this show called Evil. I watched like one, and I'm like, what? And it's making fun of those who actually believe in the devil. Trying to, you know, rationalize it out. Lucifer was a show. Just name so many shows nowadays on TV that deal with the devil and spiritualism. Jesus said in the last days, this true spirituality is going to go away. There are so many one-day-a-week Christians. Some of us sitting here, don't look around at other churches. Oh, all those Sunday churches going. Nuh-uh. Some of us, the only time we're religious is Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. We get some religion. But as soon as the sun goes down, it's like we forgot everything there is to know about God. And then we come back to church on Sabbath and get filled up. Oh, I feel good about the Lord. Just waiting for the sun to go down. That's a one day a week Christian. That's why I don't like our name. Yeah. Seventh Day Adventist. We need to be 7 days Adventist. I'm sorry. See, Pastor Nixon's going to hear about this, and he's going to say, you know, I left you. I thought I could trust you. You're not preaching anymore. Okay. But there's the promise, Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Many of Christ's signs of Christ's return are a reflection of a sad and evil world. But we do have good news. A unique message of hope is spreading through the world in these last days. This gospel message, found in Revelation 14, the three angels' message, can now be transmitted through satellite internet technology, Jesus has promised that once this message has reached everyone in the world, the end will come. So, number 7, what is the greatest danger associated with the soon coming of Jesus? You also ought to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's the danger. Even if we know that Jesus is coming soon, we need to be ready as if he were coming today. Peter says that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3:10. We lock our doors and windows each night because we know a thief could come. Yet when it happens, it gives us great shock. We cannot afford to delay our preparation for the coming of Jesus. We need to be ready now. And my final question, how can we be ready? How can we be ready? Revelation 3:20. You all know this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. First, we need to listen to hear the knock from Jesus, asking if he can enter into our lives. We have to open the door. There is no handle on the outside of the door that Jesus is knocking on. It's only on the inside. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Ask him to become an important part of your life. I'm going to end with this. A story is told of a young boy in Australia, in Sydney. He was lying in bed, eyes closed, and you know how sometimes you can sense somebody there? And he opened his eyes and he saw somebody standing over his bed, just looking at him. And he thought, maybe if I close my eyes, shut them, they'll go away. And praise the Lord for him, this person left. He got older, and he was hearing the messages of Christ coming. And he realized that shutting his eyes was not going to prepare him for Christ coming. Sometimes we close our eyes to what God reveals to us. He has shown to us what that's in the Word of God. And we just shut our eyes. We see things happening in the world. We shut our eyes. And we think that it'll go away. Maybe you have been shutting your eyes. I know I have. I see things happening. And I focus on the things and not on my relationship with Christ. I focus on our government, what's going on with Donald Trump in the White House, and not my relationship to Christ. And then I can get so distracted by the things in this world and how unchristian he is that I start looking at him and not me, and think that I am better than him. And when you do that, Jesus will come like a thief in the night, and your eyes will be shut, and you won't see him. So I'm asking you, there may be some here today who have never, ever been serious about their relationship to God, and they really want to give their hearts to Jesus. As they see things happening in the world today, maybe you want to give your heart to Christ. And so I'm going to ask everybody, just bow your heads, shut your eyes. This is time for you to be praying for that person next to you, for praying for yourself and the ability to make the decision that you need to make. Father, you see us here with our heads bowed. We need you. There's so many things happening in the world today, and yet sometimes we walk around with our heads buried in the sand, our eyes shut, thinking that if we don't look, that we'll be okay. Father, there's someone here today who needs to give their heart to you completely. And so I'm asking if you will give them the strength, give them the courage to stand up for you. Nobody's looking around. It's not about anybody else but you personally. There's somebody here that needs to make that full commitment with you. Father, please give them the courage, give them the strength to do so. Father, I'm not going to let this go on, because you're always going to find a way to reach them if they want to be reached. And so, Father, there are those of us who have been in the church, seems like all our lives, and we've become very complacent with the choices that we make, the things that we do. We need to recommit and dedicate ourselves to you. So, Father, that is your wish. I ask you to stand today, that you want to rededicate, recommit. Stand with me, because I know that's what I'm doing. Because I so want to be ready when Jesus comes. He is my Savior. He is the love of my life. I don't want to have my eyes closed. I want to, with my eyes open, go straight to him and be in his arms of love. Father, you see us. You see us standing. You know what each of us needs individually. Please, please, open our eyes to see how much love you have for us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.